Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. This has a definite meaning. All scripture, every word, is inspired. We may not be able to work out the meaning immediately or ever in this dispensation. The fault is with us. This is the wonderful thing about the readings. Just when perhaps we think we know it all, we realize we know nothing, really. Sometimes there's a temptation to project our own thoughts onto Scripture. But when we do that, we are really just expressing the imaginations of our own minds. Proverbs tells us quite clearly, a fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself. Or modern translations nearly all say something like this. Fools find no pleasure in understanding, but delight in airing their opinions. Or they delight in revealing their thoughts. And so when a certain commentator, ostensibly a religious man, interprets this phrase, cast thy bread upon the waters, to mean, as they say in the vernacular, sow thy wild oats. Really, that just shows where the mind of the commentator is. Another idea about this expression, cast thy bread upon the waters, is that it has an allusion to taking risks in business, exporting corn in ships to make money. And that really just shows the greed that lies behind the prosperity gospel. What we do know for a fact is that Jesus commands us to do good, hoping for nothing in return, even to the unthankful and the evil. Of course, that is completely opposite to our natural inclinations. We can only accept this interpretation if we recognize what is in our minds, the mind of the flesh, our natural minds. The following verse says, give a portion to 7 and also to 8. Apparently this is a Hebrew idiom, and it means not to take account of the number of acts of kindness. We may perhaps do a number of things to help somebody and then say, well, enough is enough. They're on their own now. I've done my bit. But the 7 and 8 would lead us to say no. Because after all, doesn't God say, Or doesn't Job say of God, "He shall deliver thee in 6 troubles, yea, in 7 there shall no evil touch thee"? God does not limit his kindness. He sets no definite numbers. Neither should we. Give a portion to 7 and also to 8. What is the portion? Here are some suggestions. "And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones, because he is my disciple, truly I tell you, he will never lose his reward." And let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due time we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. These principles are, of course, found in the law of Moses. But the people had no faith. They didn't really believe them. Back in Deuteronomy 15, they were counseled, give under certain circumstances, give generously to him. Do not let your heart be grieved when you do so. And then that verse continues, "And because of this, the Lord your God will bless you." Under these circumstances, God blessed or cursed the people. In the end, they were cursed for lack of faith. In our situation, the reward is in the future. But things can happen to any of us. But when they do, God is using them to show that he cares about us enough to test us, to see if we are going to respond in faith. We're told to rejoice when that happens, because God is interested in us enough to discipline us.